with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So the second leading cause of cancer in men is prostate cancer, second only to lung cancer. Now, we know that prostate cancer increases significantly with age, pretty much starting about age 60. You may not be aware of this, but once you get into your 70s and 80s, most of us actually have a few prostate cancer cells growing in there. The thing is, it's a slow-growing cancer in most cases, and so not that long ago, doctors really didn't worry about it too much because if the cancer developed in your 70s, most likely you would die a few years later from something else. Well, that's not the case anymore. Men are living longer, and if you are like me and believe that there's no reason why we can't extend the healthy human lifespan significantly for men, 90s, 100, 110, which I think is very possible in the near future, well, we're going to have to start thinking about prostate cancer a little bit more. At least the conventional oncologists are going to have to. So I want to talk about some new tests, in particular, one new screening test that I think is very powerful for prostate cancer. And then I also want to talk about some treatments, some natural treatments for prostate cancer, not prevention, but actual treatments if you have the disease. Now, before we go into the new test for prostate cancer, the new screening test, let's talk a little bit about PSA. That's the prostate-specific antigen. It's the classic one. PSA is a test that we've been doing for quite some time now, really decades. And unfortunately, there's a few people in the alternative industry that are, I think, persuading men to avoid the PSA test because it's not very helpful. And I think that that's a disservice to people. Now, the PSA is not a perfect screen. It's not. First of all, there is no perfect screening test for any cancer, okay? And I will fully admit to you that the prostate-specific antigen has its issues. You know, the main problem with it is it's not very specific to cancer. What that means is even if you just have benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is BPA, very common for aging men, PSA can go up. So you can have an elevated PSA level and not really know if that's from cancer, if that's from just a benign process. And that's why so many men in the past have had biopsies. So I get it. I understand the limitations. But the PSA is still cheap. It's easy to do, right? Doctors know how to interpret it. And right now, it still does remain a good, not perfect, screening test for prostate cancer. You know, this is a statistic that I want some of the naysayers of PSA to understand. There has been a 40% decrease in prostate cancer deaths since the inception of the PSA test. I mean, that's pretty significant. So let's continue to look for better tests that are more specific to cancer and not just benign enlargement. I get that. Let's do that. And I think I have one to share with you today. But let's don't throw out PSA completely because it is easy. We know how to interpret it. And it has saved a lot of lives. I want to mention something, too, about the PSA level. I think conventional doctors have the wrong numbers when they actually look at your PSA level. I think that they allow the PSA to be higher than what it should be. There was a study looking at Swedish men. They were followed for about 30 years, and blood samples were drawn from this cohort of men. And I think there was about 12,000, a little over 12,000 men in this. So they followed these men for 30 years, about 12,000 of them, and they did some blood work looking at the PSA. And here's what they concluded. The results showed that cancer-related deaths occurred in men who had PSA levels greater than just 1.6 nanograms per milliliter. 1.6. That's surprising. That number's a lot lower than what I think most oncologists would have predicted. I think most oncologists today even would probably have said cancer-related deaths probably occur with the PSA more in the greater than 4 region, greater than 4 nanograms per mil. But that's not what this large, well-designed study showed. It showed that cancer-related deaths were significantly increased with the PSA level of just 1.6 or greater. I mean, that's kind of a frightening number, considering that most oncologists, really are waiting for that number to get over 4. So I do believe a more optimal range for PSA is less than 1. You know, I guess most oncologists kind of consider 1 to 2, maybe 1 to 3 to be normal. 3 to 4, they get a little nervous. Over 4, now they're going to go through all kinds of workup with you. But I think we really need to bring down those numbers and use at least 1, maybe less than 1. How about 0.5 to 1 as the optimal range for PSA? It's not the greatest screening tool. I already said it, but it has saved lives. Here's something else you might consider with the PSA, and I hope this becomes more standard, and it's simply the free PSA. These are cancer cells. They tend to produce PSA that is chemically cleaved to a binding protein. So if you also look at the free PSA and you get a score that's greater than 25%, that's a low probability for prostate cancer. But if your score is less than 10%, that's a high probability of prostate cancer. All that means is they can look at the PSA. If the majority of the PSA is bound to these proteins, that's an indication that there could be, it's a better indication, I should say, that there could be prostate cancer. If the amount of free PSA without that binding protein is higher, that's a better sign. So maybe we should be doing total PSAs and free PSAs, at least the percent. That would give the oncologist and the urologist a little more information about what might be going on in you. We can avoid some of those biopsies. So simply adding a free PSA can take away some of the negative press that PSA has been given because of all those unnecessary biopsies. But here's the one I want to introduce you to. It's called PCA3. It's a urinary test. PCA3. It is a what the way this works is you have your normal digital rectal exam. So sorry guys, no test is ever going to take away a good physical exam of the prostate gland. We call it the DRE, the digital rectal exam. You got to get those once a year when you hit about 50 or so, 45. And after they do the DRE, they collect your urine. It usually takes about 1 to 2 weeks or so to get the results. But this particular protein is much more sensitive and specific to prostate cancer. As a matter of fact, it has an accuracy of up to 80%. What that means is, if the PCA3 in your urine is high, it is a really good probability you have prostate cancer and you need a biopsy. So imagine doing something like a PSA with a free PSA and the urinary PCA3. Combine those together, we'll be able to avoid a lot of unnecessary biopsies, do the biopsies where they're really needed, find that cancer early, and we can start treating it. How are we going to treat prostate cancer? Well, there's a lot of different ways out there now, radiation, surgery. I want to focus on the natural things. I want to introduce you to 2 nutrients that when combined together, if you do have prostate cancer in all stages of prostate cancer, have shown to have some amazing significant effects for the patient. It's very simple. One is a mineral called boron. Yeah, boron. About 3 milligrams a day, in combination with one you've probably heard before, lycopene. Lycopene gives tomatoes and other types of vegetables that red hue, about 40 milligrams a day. With the 3 milligrams of boron every day, the combination was able to reduce the growth of the prostate cancer and was able to reduce metastatic spread of the prostate cancer to other organs. Boron 3 milligrams a day, lycopene 40 milligrams a day. Please check into that combination if you have been diagnosed with prostate cancer. So please continue to get the PSA. Talk to your doctor about the free PSA. Consider the PCA3, which is a urinary test. And if you got it, talk to your doctor about boron and lycopene combination. There's some good research that they can look up if they don't believe it. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.